Now we're going to turn in our Bibles to the passage that I read, Ephesians chapter 5. And we began looking at this passage last week. I'm preaching a series of sermons where I want us to be encouraged, but especially I want us to be prayerful. This is my purpose in preaching a series of sermons on the local church. I want us as Christians to be encouraged. We can be in a very difficult situation. That doesn't mean we have to be discouraged. We can have enormous problems in our personal lives. That doesn't mean we have to be discouraged. It is possible for a Christian to go through the valley of the shadow of death, to go through the deepest of waters, to go through enormous trials, enormous difficulties, and yet don't have to be discouraged. We can continue to be encouraged in the Lord. And we certainly don't have to be prayerless. We don't have to give up praying. That is when the devil wins, when we don't pray. The moment we're discouraged and we stop praying, the devil has won. But if we are encouraged and we keep praying and we resolve to pray, to be prayerful, then we still have hope. Because we have a God in heaven, as I was saying this morning, who hears prayer. And we have a God in heaven who answers prayer. It's a very interesting exercise, you know, to go through the Bible and to look at the number of times that God answered prayer. I wonder if you've ever done that. I was thinking about that this week and I thought perhaps we should do a series of sermons on this, answered prayers in the Bible. And it's a huge list. It's not a small list. It's a huge list. And interestingly, that list is still increasing. Because some of the prayers that were prayed for in the Bible, God is still answering them today. So we must always be encouraged that we have a God in heaven who hears prayer, who answers prayer. And my purpose in studying Ephesians 5 is to encourage us to be prayerful. Now, I was saying last week that we as a church need to take the second part of verse 18. Because in the second part of verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit." And I was making the point that this is a command. That's the Greek tense of this verb. It's a command. It's an imperative tense. It's not a didactic tense. It's not a tense where teaching is given. It is a command. And so Paul says to the Ephesians, you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was also making the point that it is what we call a present continuous tense. And the best way of translating this phrase is, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Make sure it is an ongoing experience that you are being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was making the point that we as Christians, we become dry, we become lukewarm, we become discouraged, we become depressed. That is the Christian life. We have a great enemy who is constantly on the attack. Particularly if we are seeking to live biblical lives, particularly if we take the Word of God as the Word of God and we seek to study it and to live by it. We are evangelical, Bible-believing Christians. We don't deny the Bible. We don't play fast and loose with the Bible. We take hold of the Scriptures. We believe it. We live by it. The devil will attack us. And the devil will seek to make us lukewarm. And the devil will seek to discourage us and depress us. And the answer to this is to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. To have this regular, daily infilling of the Holy Spirit. That will encourage us and make us prayerful. So I was making the point that we as Christians, we as Copse Road Chapel, we need to take hold of this command, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I was saying last week, what are the marks of a church that is being filled with the Holy Spirit? What is it that you see in a local church? where constantly the Holy Spirit visits because the people are praying for him to come and visit. What are the marks? And I made the point that there are four things about the church that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And those four things are found in verses 19 to 21. And the first one we're looking at this afternoon, and there it is in verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we're looking at this afternoon, the first mark of a church that is constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first mark then is this: they address one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. I just have 2 points this afternoon from this text. And the first point is this: when the members are being filled with the Holy Spirit, they have fellowship with one another. They have fellowship with one another. You see what he's saying there? Addressing one another. Or other translations, speaking to one another. And that's what is behind this, the way that it is worded here. It is this ongoing, constant fellowship that Christians have. You look at the church in Jerusalem in the book of Acts, and you find that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and the Holy Spirit fell upon those believers. And 3,000 were converted. And you know how Luke records the life of that early church, a very, very famous passage in Acts 2, where he describes the ongoing fellowship of the church. And he says, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous heart. You see, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. And a little earlier, he says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. You see, apostles' teaching, fellowship, Greek word koinonia, getting on with each other. There are churches where you have fellowship. And it's very obvious. You moved into a new town, you're looking for a church, you go to a certain church, you begin to attend that church, and you're there a few months. And you realize in this church, fellowship is an important thing. It's not something that has to be forced. It's not something that's artificial. It's not something that has to be preached on and nagged from the pastor. But there is ongoing, natural fellowship. The people visit each other. The people ring each other. And the people are constantly meeting up with each other, outside of COVID, of course. Weekends, people meet up with each other. And there's ongoing fellowship all the time. Now why? Well, it's because the Holy Spirit has come. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. It's something very simple, really. And the person or the people, the family who are being filled with the Holy Spirit. And they say to themselves, oh, we've got an evening free. We've got a Saturday afternoon free. Let's go and visit somebody. And they go and visit. And the people they go and visit rejoice. Oh, great to see you. Come in. Let's sit down. Let's talk. And there's ongoing fellowship. And the devil hates it. You know, you might think, well, visiting each other, what's the big deal? Do you know there's a huge amount of benefit in it? There's a huge amount of blessing in fellowship. There's a huge amount of encouragement in visiting each other, talking to each other, praying with each other. And the devil knows this. And the devil will attack it. And the devil's work in the local church is to destroy fellowship, to discourage fellowship. And so the devil will say to one particular individual, why bother? Why bother giving up an evening going to visit somebody? Why bother giving up a Saturday afternoon to go and spend time with others? You can spend time with your own family. And you think, well, why bother? And another person, and the devil will whisper in his ear, and they say, they don't really like you. Yes, you go around, but they don't really want you, that you're an inconvenience to them. And so we begin to become more and more of a disparate church, separated and not in fellowship. The early church knew fellowship. You go through Acts, chapter 2, those verses about fellowship. Chapter 4, when the early church is under attack and persecution has begun, you see what they do, they meet in a house. They don't just say, each one go home and pray. They meet in a house. And they pray together. And the Holy Spirit comes and visits them again. Do you know one of the main reasons? I wonder if you've ever asked yourself this question. Why were Ananias and Sapphira killed instantly? Have you ever asked yourself that question? It's a very interesting thing, isn't it? Because God is patient with sinners. God is long-suffering with sinners. You read in the Bible, people fall into the most terrible of sins. And God is very patient with sinners. But here you have an incident in Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira tell a lie and are immediately struck down. Now why? It's because the early church was just being established. The foundations were being laid. And one of the foundations of a local church is fellowship with one another. And their activity would have destroyed fellowship. Because you see, this was self-promotion. They wanted to appear good in the eyes of others. They were promoting themselves. They were showing themselves to be spiritual. They were saying, we've sold a piece of land and all the money that we got we're bringing, because it was self-promotion. Self-promotion destroys fellowship. And God knew if this sort of behavior continues, fellowship in the church in Jerusalem will be destroyed, and they were removed. You see how important fellowship is. So the first thing I want to bring then from this, the members of the local church fellowship with one another. But there's a second thing I want to bring from this passage or this verse, and it is this. That their fellowship is spiritual fellowship. Their fellowship is spiritual fellowship. Do you notice what he says in verse 19? He says, addressing one another, and then he uses a very interesting phrase, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Does that sound a little odd to you? Does it mean that one member of the church in Jerusalem went and knocked on the door of another member of the church, and when that person opened the door, he said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and then went back home. Is that what it means when it says addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Well, of course not. But what Paul is doing is saying, look at the psalms, look at what you find in the psalms, look at the content of the psalms, and the content of the psalms should be the content of Christian fellowship. What is the content of the Psalms? When you read the book of Psalms, when you read a hymn book, what is the content? Well, the content, first of all, is praise. The number of Psalms where the psalmist says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who redeems your life from the pit, and so on. There are all these psalms where praise is being given. And you see what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, you visit one another, and you speak the praises of God. You share testimony. And you say to your brother and to your sister, I've come because God has blessed us. And I've just come to share blessings that God has given us. I appreciate this may sound very, very odd. Can I tell you this? In various parts of the world, this is the normal way to fellowship. You go to other countries in the world, and what do Christians do? And I've seen this, of course, I've seen it many times. Somebody will come and knock on your door, and you open the door, and the first words will be, praise the Lord, brother, I've had a blessing, I wanted to share that with you. Do you know this happens? It happens numerous times in a week. And so you say, oh, come in, sit down, have a cup of, you've had a blessing, let's hear about it. And it might be something, you know, nothing major. I remember this guy coming and knocking on my door and saying, I took my bicycle to the shop. And I left the bicycle and went into the shop, and the shop was busy, and it took me quite a long time. And when I came back out again, my bicycle was still there. God had protected my bicycle. Nobody had stolen it. Praise the Lord with me. Now, you don't, come on. You know, it is an important thing. His bicycle is very important to him. He goes to work on his bicycle. He's a poor man. If he doesn't have his bicycle, he won't get to work. And it was right. The Lord did protect it because bicycles get stolen. And so he was absolutely right to come and share this sort of thing. And you have a little time of prayer and you give thanks to the Lord that the bicycle was protected. And all kinds of things like that happen. So people share blessings. And that encourages. But when you read the book of Psalms, you also read about requests when people are in trouble. You know, there are these Psalms where the psalmist is in desperate difficulty, where the psalmist is having a very, very difficult time. Let me just read to you one of the darkest Psalms in the Bible, and you wonder, should a psalm like this be in the Bible, but it is there. And the psalmist writes his experiences of how he went through these dark, dark times. And he says, O Lord God of my salvation, I cry out to you day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of trouble. My life draws near to Sheol. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm a man who has no strength. And so on. And it goes on and on and on. And it's a dark, dark psalm. Because this poor man is going through enormous difficulties. And he pours out his heart before God. And interestingly, Paul says to the Ephesians, the contents of the psalms are to be the content of your fellowship. What do you do when you have enormous trials? What do you do when you're just feeling really down, really discouraged, really depressed? Can I tell you this? If you keep quiet, you're only doing what the devil wants you to do. Now, we've got to be wise how we share with each other. We've got to be wise with whom we share. But the Psalms are full of these anguished prayers. The Psalms are very honest about people who have enormous troubles and how they poured out their heart to God. That was Psalm 88 that I was reading, which is the darkest psalm in the Bible. But there are other psalms like that. And Paul says, when you fellowship with each other, the subject matter that is found in the Psalms should be the subject matter of your fellowship. So you don't have to have a blessing to go and share with somebody. If you're feeling difficulties, you are in times of trials, share those matters. It increases fellowship, you see. You go to someone and you say, I've got real problems, can you pray for me? And they may not be able to do anything with the actual problem, but they can pray. And prayer is very, very important. So the subject matter of the Psalms, there is praise. Subject matter of the Psalm, there is prayer when there are difficulties. And the third thing the Psalms do, of course, is that they teach us about God. There are Psalms that are teaching Psalms. They're not prayer Psalms, really. They're teaching Psalms. I guess Psalm 23 would be the most famous teaching Psalm, because it's a Psalm that teaches us about the Lord Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And David is simply teaching the people of Israel who the Lord is. He's not pouring out his heart in a time of anguish. He's simply giving teaching. And he's saying to the people of Israel, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He quietens my soul. And so, again, in fellowship, there is that element of teaching. When the Holy Spirit comes and visits a church, and members are filled with the Holy Spirit, they have light on the Word of God. They read the Scriptures. And one person reads Genesis, and they have insight into a passage in Genesis. And somebody else reads Romans, and they have insight into a passage in Romans. And they think to themselves, I'll go and talk to somebody about this. And they go in fellowship and they say, you know, I was reading Genesis and I read this passage and the Lord showed me certain things in it. It's tremendous. There's nothing wrong in it. And you mustn't think, well, of course, Sukesh is the pastor. He doesn't need any teaching. I'm learning all the time. And I love it when people come and they say, I want to share a scripture with you. I learned something from the Lord. It's lovely. We turn to the scriptures and we read the scriptures. And they tell me what insight they've had into the scriptures. It's wonderful. I don't know everything. We're all learning. So you see what the Apostle Paul is saying here to the church in Ephesus. He is saying you are to pray that God the Holy Spirit will visit you, that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there are certain marks of a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says the first mark of a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The members fellowship with one another. And that fellowship is spiritual fellowship. Can I finally read to you some verses in Malachi? Perhaps you'd like to turn to this. These are some of the most encouraging verses in the Bible. Would you turn to Malachi and chapter 3? Malachi and chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 16. Malachi chapter 3 from verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention. Think about that. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Do you see what Malachi is saying? Malachi is saying there will be this time when those who fear the Lord speak to one another, fellowship, speak to one another. They visit each other. They engage in conversation. They share their blessings. They share their stresses. And they pray for one another. It's spiritual conversation. They're not talking about COVID or Brexit or anything like that. And it says, the Lord paid attention. Have you ever thought about this? When you visit somebody in their home and you're engaged in conversation, God is listening. The Lord paid attention. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the name of the Lord and esteemed his name. You see, he's so delighted that his children are meeting and his children are fellowshipping with each other and his children are talking to each other about him and his children are sharing about how he has blessed them and what blessings they've received. They're sharing all these things and they're rejoicing in their God, and God is in heaven listening to these conversations where his children are rejoicing in him. Well, that brings delight to his heart. And he's listening when his children share about the trials they have in their lives and the difficulties they have. And he sees that they bear each other's burden and they pray for each other. And that delights his heart. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. Well, friends, I hope this whets our appetite. I hope this encourages us to pray that God the Holy Spirit would visit us. I hope this makes us say, I want this sort of fellowship in COPS. I want this sort of fellowship where we visit each other and speak about the Lord and speak about the blessings and share our trials and pray for each other. I don't want to be a one-man island. I don't want to be cut off from others and have to have nothing to do with others and always fearful of others. We don't want that. We're a family. We're a church. And we want fellowship. And God gives fellowship to his children when he visits them with his Spirit. May God help us to be filled with his Spirit that we might have fellowship one with another.